Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Monday is Veterans Day, so this morning we're sharing a Stoop story from Marine Corps veteran Rich Blake about a moment that could have been his last.
I am extremely lucky to be alive. And though it was more than 7 years ago, it's something that I think about every day, something that stays with me. I was a sergeant in the U.S. Marines. I was an infantryman. I was what they called an assaultman, which means I specialized in shoulder-fired rocket launchers, 83-millimeter rocket launchers, and also demolitions. And in 2003, I was deployed to Kuwait and then on to Iraq. And it was my first combat deployment. I had been in the Marines for 4 years, but this was the first time that I got a chance to do something. And about a month after we crossed the border, we were on a convoy, an entire battalion convoy, which is 50, 60 vehicles. And we were on a road, and single file the vehicles were in this road. And I remember on the right side of the road, there were two big buildings. We weren't in a city, but there were two buildings on the right-hand side. And to the left, there was a big open field. But separating us from that field was a canal, and it was about 20 feet wide. And I remember it had this rainbowish tint to it, as if there was oil or gasoline that had been spilled in there. And we were patrolling outside of our vehicles, just walking along. And I remember I had a mouthful of chewing tobacco, and it was really hot, and I was taking pictures with my disposable camera. And we started taking small arms fire from the left side, from the field. And one thing about gunshots is that there's a very distinct difference in the sound between gunshots in general and then gunshots that are being fired at you. And that's that regular gunshots, you just hear the bang from the rifle, but when they're coming at you, you hear the whizzing sound as they pass you. I had heard these sounds before, but I had never heard them this loud, so I was able to assume that they were fairly close to me. The Marines ahead of me they were lucky enough to have a small mound of dirt to get behind. We call them berms in the Marine Corps, but they get down behind this berm, and I didn't feel like I had enough time to get up there and get behind this berm with them. I felt like I needed to get down right away. So I got down on the ground as low as I could, but I really had nothing to hide behind. And these sounds were getting getting louder and louder. And a young Marine to my right yelled at me, and he said, "Sergeant, they're getting very close to your head." And he was watching the impacts on the ground, you know, getting closer to me. And as he said that, I looked at him, and a bullet hit the ground five, 6 inches in front of my face, and it kicked dirt into my eye and into my mouth. I closed my eyes, and I was digging my helmet as far down into the ground as I could, trying to get low. And I remember I teared up and kind of conceded at that moment that I probably wasn't going to make it. And then all of a sudden, something clicked, and I was like, man, I got to move. I had this bag that had three rockets in it, and these rockets are about this long. They weigh 15 pounds apiece. So what I did was I jumped up, and I held the bag in front of my face to run to the berm, hoping that if I got hit that the rockets would stop the bullet from reaching me. While this was going on, the platoon had moved over a small bridge over the canal, and they got behind another hill, and they were firing into this field. And so I run over there, and I get down, and I remember I dove onto the ground, and next to me was Sergeant Cologne, who was my roommate back stateside, and he was one of my best friends, Puerto Rican guy, and he was a machine gunner. And so we're sitting there, and we're completely covered because of the hill. I mean, we couldn't have been shot because we were behind this hill. And all of a sudden, bullets start hitting the hill that we're on, so it must be coming from behind us. And we really couldn't figure it out because behind us was the road. That's where all of the Marines were, so we couldn't figure it out. And so we backed up a little bit and got down in the embankment where the canal was. He was sitting about 2 feet to my right, and bullets were, you know, hitting the ground between us and on both sides of us. And he was one of the toughest guys that I knew. And I remember him screaming, like, "What the hell is going on?" at the top of his lungs. You know, this is one of the guys I looked up to as being, like, real hardcore. So when I seen, like fear in his eyes, I was really scared. Some Marines down to our right had located the people that were shooting at us. And where they were, it was three or five guys that were in a drainage pipe below the road. Our troops were right above them. We had a vehicle right above them. And so when we started returning fire into this drainage pipe, the Marines on the road thought that they were being shot at from our position. They couldn't see us, and they didn't know we were down there, so they started returning fire on us. So at this point, we're taking fire from the field, from this drainage pipe, and then from our own troops. And there was definitely a moment when I looked at him. I think I told him that I loved him, and I really didn't think that I didn't think I was going to make it. What would have normally happened is we would have, you know, peppered that whole field with artillery and with Hellfire missiles from Cobra helicopters, but there was another fight on the other side of the road, and they had the priority on those things, so we were kind of on our own. Coming out of the field, I see they were carrying Corporal Silva out. He was dead, and a couple other buddies of mine had got, you know, shot up pretty bad, and they were carrying them out. We finally got access to the artillery and to the helicopters, so we kind of, you know, backed up and peppered this whole field with artillery. And I remember, you know, everyone, you know, screaming. Everyone was holding their helmets up and cheering because we had made it. And so a couple of weeks later, I found a diary. It was an Iraqi soldier's diary. And I kept it, and I started keeping my diary on the other side of it. The first entry that I wrote was about the story that I just told you. And just to kind of give you an idea of like, the toll that this was taking on me, I wanted to share an excerpt from the diary entry. And it says, "I think about my ex-girlfriends a lot. I really don't want to die here and never find out what it's like to fall in love. I think about sex a lot, too, because it's been so long. But mostly I think about food and water, because it's been scarce. As I write this, a sniper keeps shooting at me, but I don't even duck anymore. What for? I really think I'm going crazy. Thank you."
That was a Stoop story told in 2010 from former Marine and Iraq War veteran Rich Blake. You can listen to more stories and learn about Stoop shows and the Stoop podcast all at stoopstorytelling.com. We have a link at our page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening to On the Record. Stay warm this weekend and enjoy yourself.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.